Catholics from around the world have been asked to come together in their communities to pray in a special way for the consecration of Russia and Ukraine. It's coming up this Friday. Our Lady of Fatima named specifically that Russia be consecrated to her Immaculate Heart, or her errors would be spread throughout the world. Well, in 1984, Pope John Paul II prayed that consecration. And this Friday, we have an opportunity to renew that. And joining me this morning to kind of help us understand the original request of Our Lady and the need for this renewal is David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. Good morning, David. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Brenda. Great to be with you.
Well, let's start with the basics for our listeners. What is a consecration and what are the effects of that, maybe personally and for a whole country like Russia?
Well, a consecration is a setting aside of something for a special purpose. For example, we consecrate our lives. We consecrate, a new priest may consecrate a chalice, have it consecrated. We consecrate buildings, church buildings. We consecrate peoples, nations. So this is not unusual. This is something that is done periodically or occasionally, should be done more, I think, actually. But a consecration is setting aside something for a special holy purpose. And that's really what you look at when you see something being consecrated.
Well, David, the visions of Fatima way back 1917, and then John Paul II did the consecration in 1984. So why so long in between the initial visionary, Sister Lucia had talked of this, to when it was actually done, and now why a need to renew it?
Well, I think that is the question, why it took so long. Our Lady mentioned it in the apparitions in 1917, but she said, I will come back and ask for that consecration. She did in 1929 to Sister Lucia. She appeared to her and asked, now is the time for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart. So Sister Lucia brought that forth. And why did it take 55 years to be done properly? Well, I don't know. We can't really say, but we can say this, that it was attempted in that time too. This was during the pontificate of Pius XI. Then Pius XII attempted to, and did actually make a consecration in 1942. But he did not do it in union with all of the bishops of the world, which was the request. And Our Lady told Sister Lucia in another vision or another locution that the consecration was not done according to the request, but it had a positive effect and it did shorten World War II. So all consecrations do have a positive effect. He did again in 1952, but again, it was considered incomplete. In 1982, St. Pope John Paul II attempted the consecration once again. That was the year after the assassination attempt. If you remember, then he went to Fatima and he did. But then she also said there that was not done properly. It needed to be done in accord with all the bishops of the world, at least by invitation to them. So in 1984, he did call for all the bishops of the world to join in the consecration, which he made in the Vatican Square with the statue that was brought from Fatima. And Our Lady said, Sister Lucia said that the consecration was accepted. Now, keep in mind, from 1929 until 1984, that was 55 years. So she said, to keep Russia from spreading her errors. Well, guess what? In 55 years, Russia spread her errors in a great, great way. Of course, right after that, you cannot deny the things that happened in the next 5 years, 4 to 5 years afterwards. The Berlin Wall came down, the communist flag came down, the Soviet flag came down over the Kremlin. Communism was outlawed in Russia. And the reality, and it's all happened without firing a shot.
Right.
So you have to see a divine hand in that. But I don't know if there was ever a statement that once a consecration is done, that perfection will come. Now, she said there will be, Russia will be stopped from spreading her errors. And people say, well, what do you think today watching them invade Ukraine? Well, yeah, this is a problem. But I think you're not looking at the Soviet Empire doing this either. This is a whole different world. This is a whole different situation. This is I mean, I'm not here to talk about the geopolitics of Ukraine and Russia, but I think it has more to do with a nationalist situation. And there are global implications. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing that in any way. But I do believe that that consecration was done. But there's the biggest factor we always have to remember, Brenda, is that, you know, Our Lady didn't say that the Holy Father will consecrate Russia and everything will be good forever. She didn't say that you have no more responsibility as people because now the job is done. No, that was never part of the deal. What it was is, you know, what does she ask of Fatima to the children and to us through them? Are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation for the conversion of sinners? Are you willing to offer your lives for that and live the Fatima message, you know, live according to the Gospels? And I think that's the big question. Have we done that as a people? And I think it's a resounding no, we have not. So who's really to blame? Is it the Holy Father to blame? Well, you know, I don't know. I think that's a cop-out to say only if the Pope had made this consecration differently. I think it falls more on us, the fact that we have not.
Okay.
And if there is imperfection in what a Holy Father may have done, perhaps it comes from the lack of grace from us, because it's our job to merit that grace for these things to be done.
David Carollo is the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. He is joining us today to give us a little bit more insight and details as to the consecration happening by Pope Francis on Friday. Well, David, you talked just a moment ago about our role in this. Now, Pope Francis has called the bishops of the world to come together. He has called the Catholics to come together in their communities and pray. Do we have a responsibility as Catholics, as requested by Pope Francis, to take part in this on Friday?
Without question. I think the effectiveness of this will depend as much on the Holy Father's involvement as well on the involvement of the bishops and priests and laity that join into it. Because we, the World Apostolate of Fatima, at USA, we're part of the International World Apostolate of Fatima International. We, as the World Apostolate International, we petitioned even before the nuncios came out with this request, we petitioned the Episcopal conferences in every one of our respective countries around the world where we're present for the bishops to join in with this. And I received a very good response here in the United States. Then at the same time, the Papal Nuncio sent the Holy Father's request for the bishops to join in too. I'm not saying that we jumped ahead of it. We just started this immediately and we heard of the consecration. And I received a really nice response that yes, there are many. Now, I can't say that every bishop in the United States of what 195 dioceses are going to join into this on Friday, but a good number have publicly said they're going to do it and many more. Now, we're located here in the Diocese of Metuchen, New Jersey, and Bishop Cecchio, who is the ordinary of this diocese, I contacted him right away, and he was already committed to a noon mass at the cathedral, but he said he's absolutely going to do the consecration from there and broadcast it. We are going to have it done. We wanted him to come to the Blue Army Shrine here because we're located in his diocese, but we have Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio from Brooklyn coming over. He's a Bishop Emeritus of Brooklyn, New York, and a regular visitor here. And he's agreed to come on Friday to do the consecration from the Blue Army Shrine here, which is the headquarters of the World Apostolate of Fatima, New Jersey. So we're really very excited about that. I think and there are bishops all over the country, many priests, laity. This is what we're being called to do, for us to get on our knees. You know, you want peace, there's a way to have it. You know, Brenda, I always say that the closer you are to God, there is love and serenity. The farther away from God you get, there is what? Hatred and chaos. Mm-hmm. Where are we at today in this world? We're far away from that ideal of God. But if we as a people get on our knees, okay, like the people of Nineveh did in the Old Testament, right? You know, they averted disaster and destruction by putting on the sackcloth and ashes and asking God for forgiveness. We always hear of mercy, and mercy is so important. We believe in divine mercy. We're very devoted to what Sister Faustina brought us from the divine mercy apparitions. But there's mercy. But mercy is for those who are repentant. And if we as in people are repentant, we will bring good things onto our country and to our world.
That is David Carollo. He is the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, joining us to talk about this wonderful event, the consecration happening this Friday. David, I have enjoyed our time very much so far. There's more I want to ask you about, but I am coming up against my break. Will you stay with me through the break so we can continue our discussion in the next half hour?
Sure, gladly.
I am continuing now my conversation with David Carollo. David is the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, their shrine in New Jersey. They, along with so many others, are preparing for a very special consecration to be prayed this Friday here in the Archdiocese of Portland. Our Archbishop, Alexander Sample, will be with the monks down at Mount Angel Abbey. We'll also be participating in that consecration. David, thank you so much for staying with me.
Great to be here.
David, as I said, many parishes are coming together in their own communities. Bishops are coming together at the request of Pope Francis. Has there been a request or a reach from the Vatican and Pope Francis to our Eastern Rite brothers and sisters and the Orthodox community to also have them involved with this consecration? And is that an important part of the event?
I believe that they have. I don't know that for a fact. I believe that the Vatican has reached out to the Orthodox Church. Of course, the Eastern Rite Catholic churches are in communion with the Holy Father, so they would have received the information early on. I think that's very important because what people don't realize sometimes, they don't understand the Orthodox Church. Unfortunately, Christianity has been separated for half of its history, when you think about it. I mean, it's been almost 1,000 years since the Great Schism of 1054. But there's one thing about the Orthodox churches, the Orthodox faith of the Russians, the Greeks and all, is they maintained apostolic succession, which is not what happened in the Protestant world when they split from the Catholic Church. They broke away from that. So their ministers and priests do not have that apostolic succession, where in the Orthodox Church they do, which makes them valid bishops. May not make them listed to the Catholic Church and to the Vatican, but they are certainly with the orders from the line of the apostles. And I think that's very important. I mean, I believe that, there is a unity that exists, even though it's amongst disunity, if you can get what I'm saying here, is there is a, obviously there is a great rift that, and unfortunately, when you go on a parallel, once you split, you don't go parallel lines, you kind of skew a little bit. And then every year you tend to separate more and more. Well, unfortunately that's happened for close to 1,000 years now. And, but I just think that, the essence of the faith, I mean, I think of Russia, for example, and it's a little disturbing, I guess, is the comments that Patriarch Kirill had said, kind of endorsing the actions in Ukraine. And that's going to cause some severe issues, I'm afraid, in their churches, in the Orthodox Church, between the Ukrainians and the Russians and others, other communions there. But, there is a sense of their foundation is so similar to ours. For example, there was no country in the world with more oratories dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary than Russia. Wow. Prior to the Communist Revolution. So it tells you, I mean, there is, it is a country that is still very special to Our Lady, despite what happened, despite where they went. Okay. And I think that there is a, I don't know. I still believe that the conversion of Russia really has begun. What you're seeing here, who knows? History will certainly give a better picture of what we're witnessing here in this last month. I think there is also it's also reality that there are individuals, individuals like Putin and others that not everybody. I mean, do we have perfect leadership in our country?
Oh,
think about it. OK,
yes,
correct. My question is this to people. Do we pray for these people? It's easy to say pray for the conversion of sinners. So you think of, I have a son or a daughter or a relative who's not. I got to pray for that person because I love them and I want them. And that's all just and beautiful. But do you pray for your enemies? And if you don't, then you're not really living that Christian way. Christ forgave everybody from the cross. And when he forgave everybody from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe he was also talking about us. We're the ones who put him on the cross. Not necessarily the, you know, yes, the men who physically did it, but we're the ones who caused it. He forgave us. That's why he did it. So can we do any less? You know, I mean, in the Our Father, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Well, if we don't forgive them, he's not going to forgive us. You know, we have to think of people like that. We have to pray for their conversion. If you have a politician in this country, and there are many, you know, many who claim to be Catholic and really don't live by it, but do you pray for them that that spark will come back into them and bring them back to the faith? You know, now, do you pray for, how many people have prayed for Putin today in this country? I don't think too many.
No, sure.
But think about it. You know, we pray for these people, not just pray that they be stopped in what they're doing, which of course you want, but you pray for their conversion. You pray for the conversion of sinners. When sinners are converted, the world becomes a beautiful place. And I think that's what we have to always consider.
Oh, and convert all of us, that we continue to turn back to the Lord, especially during this Lenten season. David Carollo is joining me today. He is the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. There, and all of us around the country are preparing for this beautiful consecration of Russia and for peace in Ukraine this Friday. Well, David, you've been talking about what is our role, and we know that Pope Francis has called on all of us to pray on Friday, to participate in whatever way we can. But beyond Friday, what are our responsibilities? We can't just say, you know, just be that Easter Christmas Catholic, show up once and then say, well, I did my part. There must be more that needs to be done beyond Friday.
Well, I think living the Fatima message, and the big part of living the Fatima message right now, is fulfilling the first Saturday's devotion, because that has not been fulfilled. I think that is the biggest thing. I truly believe when enough people have really, really fulfilled or attempted to fulfill the request of the first Saturdays, you will see this triumph of the Immaculate Heart that we've been promised. God doesn't necessarily have a date, okay, on April 21st of 2034, it's going to happen. Well, you know, I don't think that's it. And why are the first Saturdays so important? Because you're making reparation. God wants, and he told her directly, told Sister Lucia, he wants reparation made for the blasphemies against Our Lady, you know, what, against her Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, you know, her divine maternity, you know, the blasphemy of teaching children to not respect Our Lady. And of course, the last one is against her sacred images. The Fatima messages began not with Our Lady appearing to them in May of 1917. The Fatima messages began a year earlier when the Angel of Peace appeared to the three children.
Okay.
In three apparitions, he taught them the prayers of adoration, you know, that prayer, the pardon prayer, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Now think about that. You're right, there is our mission statement. We are praying. We have to adore God and then pray for those who don't, you know. And then in the third of the three apparitions, brought them the Eucharist. They received the Eucharist. So, you know, the Blessed Sacrament is a big part of everything we do. This is our 75th anniversary as an apostolate. We were founded in 1947 as a Blue Army, the Blue Army of Prayer, to counter the Red Army of atheistic communism. That's where we started. And that's no different today. We're still Our Lady's Blue Army. We're the World Apostolate of Fatima. We're a public association of the faithful in the church. And that's all beautiful. But we're still in our hearts. We're still that Blue Army of Prayer. That's what we always have to be. And so in this time, we're promoting the pledge. And then, you know, if you come to our website, bluearmy.com, sign that pledge. That was the pledge that Sister Lucia worked out with our founder, John Hafford, in 1947. That pledge to pray the rosary daily, be devoted to the brown scapular, live, you know, according to your state in life, your chastity, and that. Very simple and beautiful. And to work towards the first Saturday's devotion. So in this 75th anniversary, we're pushing for many, many more people to sign the pledge. We are promoting the all-night vigils. nocturnal adoration, Eucharistic adoration. Another key to bringing about holiness is making reparation for sin, and you do it both whole, you know, in the whole way, in the night hours. And so we're really promoting that. We have some books that we've republished, The Night of Love, about that, and The World's Greatest Secret about the Mass. These are books that kind of go to our founding. They're all available on BlueArmy.com. But more importantly, consider signing that pledge, because that is the key.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much. And we join our prayers here on the West Coast with yours on the East Coast, and together around the world, we pray for Our Lady's mantle to be just placed upon the whole of the earth and brought to her.
One more comment I'd like to make is Archbishop Sample is a great friend of this apostolate, and we've known him well. We've been out there for events. He's been with us to our hotel retreat center, Domus Pacis in Fatima, during the centennial year, and you're very honored to have a bishop like that.
Oh, so, thank you so much. We feel so very blessed to have our shepherd, Archbishop Sample, leading the Archdiocese of Portland. David, thank you again so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Brenda. It was great.
And again, that is David Carollo, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima. The consecration is coming up on Friday. Our Archbishop Alexander Sample will be celebrating with the monks and seminarians at Mount Angel Abbey. That will be live streamed on our app beginning at 8 a.m., the Hail Mary Media app. And then here at Mater Dei Radio, we will be live streaming the EWTN event from the Vatican. Please stay with us and stay tuned for additional details as they come out at materdeiradio.com.